God is when you seek to justify a person. You're seeking to find the good in that person's life. That's God. See, God so loved us while we were yet in our sins. In spite of all that you see a person do and all that they have done, you seek to find the good of that life. If it's nothing more than the fact that God created him a human being, God's act was good. Is that right? When he made a human being. And you seek to find the good that you can. That's the mind of Jesus. Because Jesus so loved the world that he loved us while we were yet in our sins and was willing to die for us. It's like the story I heard concerning the hiding place. They say that this woman, that they beat her so unmerciful until she fell and ripped her back open. And the different places where they beat her, and as she fell down, she said, "Father," said, "forgive them," said, "they don't know what they're doing." See, in the love of God, she sought to find the good part about it. And her thoughts was, well, they just don't understand. And truthfully, that's right. They don't understand. The Bible said the righteous shall understand, the wicked shall not understand. They don't understand, or they never would even as much as scold a Christian, let alone say anything about them or think thoughts against them. But the Bible said these are evil beasts made to be taken and burned. And they're speaking evil of dignities and things that they don't know nothing about, being vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, thinking that they know something when they don't know something as they ought to know. And so they speak evil of dignities and great powers, dignitaries, whereas the Bible said angels that are greater in power and might dare not bring railing accusation against Satan, but just say, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan." They walk in places where others would not dare to tread, even angels. So then, I know that the love of God is when you do not seek to accuse people in your mind, when you do not seek to find fault with them in your thinking, but when you seek to try to find whatever good you can in them to praise that good. And if they've got that good within them and they're using that good for a perverted means, then you just say, well, as Satan quoted the scripture, that was good. Whether the devil quotes the scripture, whoever, the scriptures are still good. Isn't that right? So then that is good. The fact that God made Satan an angel that was upright, that was good. How do you know that was good? God would not have done it had it not been good, because God does not do any evil thing. That was good. But the fact that he failed to the level he did, that was not good. So then we seek to justify God in all things. Wisdom is justified of her children. And if we are a child of understanding and of wisdom, as our brother prophesied in the prophecy, I noticed it said to seek the wisdom of God. And finding the wisdom of Jesus Christ, if there are children that are born of wisdom, that are of wisdom, they will justify wisdom. Wherever they hear it, wherever it comes forth, they will be quick to take the defense of wisdom. The Bible said we're set for the defense of the gospel. Now then, if you'll turn with us in the first chapter, let's read the first verse. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flowers of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood will he make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down. When he shall pass through, though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds asunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition. Watch the way. Make thy loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptier have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. Now, that's reading quite a bit here. I notice a number of things here that would be outstanding if we just had time to bring them out. But I wanted to tie one or two of the things here in with a thought this morning. He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. He tells us here that he will not let affliction come the second time. The 13th verse, for now will I break his yoke from off thee and will burst thy bonds in sunder. Now, I want to say some things this morning I believe will be helpful to you. If you'll give me just a few minutes, and I'll try not to hold you long. I understand that they're going to have the funeral at about 3 o'clock. Is that 3, 3:30? 3 o'clock. I never expected them to bury him today. You know, they used to hold a person out quite a while, but having been around the funeral home some, knowing the way that they do, they got now to where they want to bury him immediately. And, of course, they use the terms that's better for the loved ones and everything else. And that's their terms, because they're in it for money and they want to get the body in the ground as quick as they can and get their money. That's business with them. I happen to know that for a fact. And that's why that they use the terms that they do. They just drill you into thinking they're doing it for your benefit, you know. But in reality, it's not biblical. It's not God's way. Though God has suffered it in the day we're living in it. Back in the days when Joseph's father died, they mourned for many, many days over Joseph. But the thing is, I didn't know that they were going to bury him that soon. But I'll try my best to not to hold you long this morning to weary you. And those that want to go over there and be with them, well, you can. Now, there's so many things that I'd like to bring out that I know I can't bring out this morning, but I'd like to bring out some of them. All right? One of the thoughts that I'd like to dwell on is he spoke of bursting the bonds asunder and not letting affliction come the second time. He said he would not let affliction come the second time, and he would burst it asunder. Now this morning, when I first came in, we sang a song, and that song spoke of the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. Will the Lord come again? Now, I believe he will. What we just encountered, or just encountered in the death of Brother Bucky, and the things that has just happened concerning the recording, going to Nashville, wasn't some idea or something that I had come up with or some plan that I had. That wasn't it at all. Me turning toward the musical end of it to press into that some at this time was no plan of mine. If I had been going to do it, I would have done it at least 20 years ago. But I have waited patiently for God to perform in my life and in the life of my children, in the life of my family, that which I felt should be performed. And this musical end of our ministry in what we're doing right now has a great spiritual significance. First of all, I have given all that I have here to my brethren. I gave it to them because it has to do with the Jews and with them becoming the head of the nation. So I gave them all that I have. As a matter of fact, I've got a song called All That I Have. Track. All That I Have. I believe we got a track on that, haven't we? All That I Have. Now, I give all that I had, my strength, my efforts, my mind, everything that I could to it, and I gave it to the brethren because it had to do with them becoming the head of the nation and the move of God, which I know is at hand to go forth. It has to do with the last over 20 years of our ministry and with this coming year and the 5 to 7 years that we've been in this area in our building and preaching and publications, and especially with this coming year as an ultimate in God's expression from our ministry and from the things that we've done toward the world. Now, so then, the musical end of it has a great meaning. We did not go to Nashville just to be going. I've given all that I had here to my brethren, but my spirit, which belongs to God, my spirit in the type of what we was doing, I gave to my wife. Because my wife has the great symbol of the bride in being married to Betty. So then I gave all of my songs to my wife and to the children. That's all that I reserved for the wife and the children, which was my spirit. For my heart and my spirit went into the songs as I wrote them, as I sang them. Many times as I wrote them, tears run down my cheeks as I traveled around. Many times I've wrote them, sometimes on my knees with tears streaming down my cheeks, because it was my heart, it was expression, my desire, my life, my spirit. And so then I gave them to my wife and to my children a long time ago. And in this, it indicates that God has prepared the world and the fullness thereof, that the Jews might have complete control and complete power over it and be the head of the nation, that they should have everything under their control, and all nations should have to do obeisance unto that leadership. But in my spirit, that indicates going to my wife and to my children in the rapture of the church. And so then in going over to Nashville, Tennessee, it had to do with a death, burial, and with a resurrection. No wonder that God allowed the decease of our brother Bucky the way he did. It's no little wonder, because going to Nashville had to do with the end of Brother Branham's ministry, whereas when I say that, a man's ministry never ends. Paul's never ended, nor will Brother Branham, but in that God has a great outreach that comes directly from a man's decease. Then after that, God begins to raise up another move and adds to what he's already done. And so then it indicated the end of Brother Branham's ministry as far as the cycle, that God might start another living move in the earth. Now, so then in this, Brother Bucky was representing the law. Most all of you know that Bucky was a judge or a justice of the peace and represented the side of Jesus that referred back to the law. I talked to Bucky about this. I told Bucky this, and I talked to some of you brethren about it. And on the side that Bucky represented, it had to do with the law. And after that, we had had this camp meeting that we just recently had, it had to do with the end of the move that Brother Branham represented, because Brother Branham represented the end of the law. He represented, though he was in the days of grace, and though it was the move of grace, yet he represented the law. And God said to Brother Branham, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And God was with him as he was Moses. And great, wonderful things took place. And I believe that Brother Branham, as Moses did, tried to be faithful in all of his house. And that's why that Brother Branham's followers did the way that they did, in quoting the quotations like they did. Now I want you to hear me. Moses was faithful in all of his house. But it doesn't say that Moses' followers was faithful in all of their house. They murmured and they complained until God took their leader and cut them off in the wilderness and raised up another leader and took their children and took them into Canaan land. So then God has moved by his great spirit not to cut off the followers of Brother Branham, because Brother Branham's followers only represented the move of the church world, the elders which would not listen to God, that's been cut off in the wilderness. While God, among Brother Branham's followers, among all of the denominationals, people of the world, has raised up a people that are the children. And when I say the children, I don't mean the young generation, but I mean the children of God. He raised up the children of God, whether elders or young alike, and God is taking them into the Canaan land of God, which is the mind and revelation of Jesus Christ. You follow me? Now then, so then we see in this that Brother Branham represented that side of it. He represented Moses. He represented the side which was the law, and his people was to take an ecclesiastical look. An outlook. They were supposed to be the type of people that would be a demanding people. You know, Moses' people was, you got to come right to the line. And even Miriam and Aaron drawed Moses himself right down to the line on things, saying, who do you think you are? And so then God let Brother Branham come up the same way, and the people did Brother Branham the same way. They took that same outlook. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're the only prophet in the earth? But yet God defended Brother Branham, and God stood by Brother Branham. Not because God loved Brother Branham any better than he did you. God loves the very least one just as much as he does the greater. As a matter of fact, God will devote more time to a spiritual baby than he will to a grown-up that can take care of him own self. Isn't that right? You devote more time to that baby. You're more enthused over that baby. So then God doesn't think any more of him than he does you, nor of me or any other person that might be grown up in some way in God. He doesn't think any more of them than he does his little bitty babies. All right, now, so then, Brother Branham represented this great thing. But when Brother Perry Green came to Atlanta, Georgia, it had to do with the end of Brother Branham's ministry in the cycle. He came to Brother Wilson's place. Just prior to that, he came to Henry's place. Came to Brother Wilson's place. And I spoke of the trumpet that Brother Wilson had, that a woman, I believe, by the name of Mary had given him, and that it had to do with the birth of the new coming forth. I also spoke of Brother Dwight's trumpet that Wilson's had to do with the gathering of Israel. And they said they had an overflow up there at Wilson's church. And then Brother Dwight's having to do with the move of Israel into battle. And sure enough, Dwight was the one that went down to make the record over here in Nashville, Tennessee. He was there on the records, and I believe one of them that he recorded was "He is the Man." Now, you say, where is the connection, Brother Pike, between the two trumpets? Because Brother Wilson himself is making records and is scheduled to go down there pretty soon and make another record. He is making records, and both of them are working through Brother Tidwell. That's something, isn't he? Met her at the well. But they're working through that together, and at the place called Hilltop Studio, which has to do with the crucifixional part of it, in that Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Now, I used to wonder why that God would tell men to lift up holy hands. But when you lift up your hands, it symbolizes Calvary. When he tells us to lift up our hands and praise God, when they held Moses' hands up, God took special notice because it represented Calvary. And when you raise your hands up like that, God again sees Calvary. And it touches God's heart and causes God to move in your behalf. Men to lift up their hands and praise God. It's a wonderful thing. So then, over at the Hilltop Studio, it had to do with that. At the Hilltop Studio is also where Brother Johnson from out of Memphis, who is indirectly connected with this, a wonderful singer, a Jesus name man, that's where he also goes to make his records. Now, in this thing that God's doing, Nashville has to do with it. Brother Hollis, you probably remember that I spoke of him and how that the tent that he had to do with this move. Now, again I say that it is no little wonder that he should be one of them that would go down into Nashville, because he represented the leadership of that tent. He was the man that made the supreme investment in it. It was his truck that carried it and his organ or whatnot that was under the tent. And so then when the record was made, there was not one other black person that I know of that went there outside of Brother Hollis other than his wife or family. Now, so then he represented the headship and the leadership of that, not Brother Denny as some would have thought, but rather Brother Hollis. And so then Brother Hollis going down there, Brother Dwight with his trumpet, at the sounding of the trumpet, the dead in Christ arise, at the sounding of the last trumpet. The last trumpet refers to the second trumpet that was to put the thing in motion. And at that, Dwight sounded the trumpet down there, and there where this tent was brought from, Brother Hollis's tent was brought out of Nashville, Tennessee. The green tent that he got was brought out of Nashville. And I said way back there, and I'm sure that Brother Taylor remembers it, perhaps Brother Zell or some of the others, I said that tent has to do with Nashville, Tennessee, has to do with the singing part of my ministry. I said this as far back as Memphis years ago. The singing part of my ministry, it has to do with it, and has to do with the time as far back as when I was down there to give an audition at the Grand Ole Opry when I refused it years ago. That was 7 to 10 years ago that we made these statements, because we saw then that this was to happen over here. And so then God, the Bible said, declaring the end from the beginning, seeing all things, then if he is in you and I, the Holy Ghost shows us things to come. And so these things was to come, the Holy Ghost revealed it to us. like the woman that went up into the temple and the man that went up to prophesy concerning Jesus. Before the body was ever born, before it ever came into the world, the Bible said it was revealed unto Simeon and to this woman that they should see God's Christ. So then, that same great Holy Ghost today is revealed unto me, Jim. He has revealed unto you. He has revealed unto others. And today that same wonderful Holy Ghost is still revealing to them that will let him reveal. We may be here in the service and God may reveal your heart to me. He has done that many times. He may tell me your heart. He may tell me your life. He may tell me your past. He may tell me your future. He may tell me anything about you. Then he may tell me the future of the world. But whatever it is God, it is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost working in me to tell me that which is to come. That is, Daniel of old prayed and sought God when he said, God, tell me what's going to befall my people in the future. The angel of God came down and said, Daniel, thou beloved man of God. He was very beloved of God because he was concerned about his people. He was concerned about the future, and he applied his heart and his life and said, God, make me to know and make me to understand what's going to befall my people. So then, this thing that occurred, we made our plans, went down to Nashville, Tennessee, there at Hilltop Studios. While we was there, this thing took place in its spiritual time. For that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. And Bucky, having represented Moses, which had to do with Brother Branham, in that that was the thing that turned Bucky around, was to go back to the Brother Branham's side, because when he turned from this, and yet he didn't turn from it in his heart, in that he said, Brother Pike, I'm with you. The last time I saw him, but turning from it under the pressure, going back to Crawford, back to where that was concerning where Brother Sweden is and where that is concerning the lost side, Brother Branham, having been a justice of the peace, having been a judge, he turned in that. And I told the brethren in the meetings, I said, brethren, don't feel bad at him. I said, because he has to do what God prepared his heart to do. See, God uses the membership of the body of Christ. He moves one membership this way and one membership that way. And God does it for his own purpose, to raise up that he will, raise up whom he will, and to put down whom he will. That's his own way of doing. So then God intended for that to be. He was born for that purpose, the purpose of God. Then there's Pharaoh, born for that purpose. You're born for your purpose. Look at Esau and Jacob. They were born for their purpose. Before Esau was ever born in the world, God said, Esau have I hated, but Jacob have I loved. And so then, whatever it might be, God has ordained it. He created the good. He created the evil. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. So then at the Hilltop Studios, here we flew over southern. Went over southern. When we got there at the Hilltop Studios, then it typified Calvary. It typified the rending of the veil. It typified a separation. And in the separation, it typified a battle there on the hilltop between the body and between the spirit. At seeing this and at being there to watch what God was doing, we had two engineers to come in. A lot of things, if we had a little more time, we might could elaborate on them this morning. But two engineers came in, and there at the hilltop, one was doing our recording. Now, the other came in from Cincinnati, Ohio. And I spoke to him of you, Brother Taylor. From Cincinnati, he there has his own professional studio. This man that came from Cincinnati was the man that was interested in letting us have his equipment. So then you can see the thing again, in that while we was there, Brother Beretta and some of the others said, well, we ought to have our own studio and do our own work and save the money that we have to invest in what's being done. And I heard the engineer there tell the other and said, you know, you get plenty of money back if you just set you up a studio. And I know that's true, because it causes plenty to just cut a record. But anyway, that equipment coming in this direction, perhaps, we'll put it that way, it is turned in this direction as far as we can tell. But coming in this direction, then it denotes again the rending of the veil, the separation of the two, the powers of the ingenuity, and one of them coming back here, having used that on that end over there, where Brother Wilson, that represents the Brother Branham, and yet it's a breach over the Brother Branham followers, and Brother Green going out there at Brother Billy Andrews, it represents the separation there, and the other part coming over to here at this place right here. At the same time, our songs going into the hands of Brother Tidwell, and Brother Tidwell being the tie between the two, it represents the unifying of the bodily move of Brother Branham and the spiritual move of this that's represented here. So then the coming together of the body and the spirit, whereas it will come together in Brother Green, that's through Billy Andrews at Hilltop Studio, for even though it was the rending of the veil at Calvary, yet it was the coming together of the many members of the body of Christ as a complete unit. Is that right? Till we all see eye to eye, till we all speak the same thing, till we all come into the unity of faith, every one of us coming together there in the body of Christ Jesus, Brother Branham's body being joined to this, and our songs having to do with the spirit and the life and the resurrection that we spoke of, Sister Betty being connected with, going into the body of Brother Branham and picking them up in a musical air and catching their attention through their singing, in that they won't yield through this law part of it. You follow me? It is so precise and so beautiful that when Brother Bucky left from over here, at the very time that I want you to see this, the very differences that we had was over the fact of bringing the trailer down in time for the camp meeting. That was where Brother Bucky got disturbed at me, standing out here at the little guardhouse, because I would not go get the trailer at the time that he wanted me to go get it. And that was our little differences, and from that it rose and rose and rose. But I'd already told Betty what I'd seen and understood. And so then, as it began, the tide began to rise over that, then our differences came over that, which brought it back to the camp meeting. And when David and Becky had their little separation, I said it has to do with the trailer being separated. You know, when part of it went up there and part of it stayed down here, and it had to do with the unity of it coming back together. I said, David, there ain't nothing to worry about. Revelation showed you'd be back together in a few days, and so they were. Now, but in this, and what I'm saying is that right at the camp meeting, it had to do with the old being folded up and laid away. Right at the camp meeting, you remember the vision I had of Brother Bucky, where I saw him in bed, and he was in his bed and turning to corruption. Now, in that when a body is put to sleep, it goes down into the grave, it's like a bed, and then of course the body decays. Now, I mean, where's your body, my body, my brother's body, my dad's body, anybody's body does that. You understand what I'm saying? Now, Job said, though the skin worms devour my body. So then it had to do with that, and at the camp meeting time, then it had to do with the separation of that which was old to be folded up and to be laid away. And the redemptional part of that body had to do with his daughter Becky, which brought his name into our family, whereas David gave her his name, and with David, it all came together. It all came together in that David represented Brother Bucky. Some of you, you'd heard me speak of it, how that David and Bucky run together like that. For the Jesus side was the David side that would be raised up to sit on the throne of the millennium. Is that right? And then the Christ side was to be the spiritual resurrected side, which is the rapture of the saints of God, which will be in a greater place that will rule through David there on the throne, or through the Jesus, the Christ ruling through the Jesus, and then the rest of them being the head of the nation under the constraint. And you know how that David himself came here, and when you brethren would not give honor to anybody, you gave honor to David and followed David, and David, even though he wasn't doing like he ought to, yet you still worked with him and honored him here in letting him set up the harvest herald and different things, because you knew that my heart was in David, in the sense he was my son, and I wanted him to live right, and I told you what he represented. All right, now, so then we see a great thing in the mind of God, and as we have spoke of it before it took place, and now relate to you afterwardly the confirmation of what has taken place, that you might clearly see that what we said before has taken place in that is mind of God. God telling the end from the beginning. All right, now, he said, it's not you that speak, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. At these studios over there, Jim, at the Hilltop Studio, there the body was separated as far as the death of Brother Bucky and the law, going back to the justice, the peace, and the judge. The law was folded up and laid away. But his daughter, which is still his blood, which is still his life, and even his wife turning favorably toward this, his body still coming back in a resurrection, for through the death of Jesus, he redeemed the body that was lost. Is that right? You and I and others. And turning to this to bring it back up, that God might have his way in all in everything. So then, Brother Branham's body, which was cut off, that is gone. That was cut off. But at this time, it is to redeem Brother Branham's body, whereas I said the following of Brother Branham would start turning to it, whereas they're doing it. And then that would indicate the redemption of that which was cut off out there in the beginning. Now, because Brother Branham and I was one, we were together. Now, not only was we together in the beginning, we're still together in the end. And in this, God is but one God. He was in his heart, in your heart, he's in my heart. And so then, in this, it has to do with the decease of our brother, has to do with the recordings, why we flew to Nashville 7, and why that when we got there, we caught the plane, which was the Eastern, to come back on. Because the message goes east in the resurrection. Now, going south, that indicates death and down into hell and so forth. Nashville, the gnashing of teeth. It used to be a place of smoke and just trouble and worries and problems, but it finally got to a place to where even the president himself, while he was in office, he'd go down there just to be in opera land. It's a great thing down there now. Okay, now, in this, look at Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter had to do with this because at Brother Branham's death, then Kennedy also lost his life. In the cutting up of Jimmy, in the healing of the wound, it brings the power of leadership back, that the leadership might be a democratic leadership. And whereas Republican has had it for a number of years, Republican is always a conservatist, always that which it is a centralized government towards self, their own ideas, the rich, and the constraint. Is that right? I made a statement years ago, many years ago, I said the Republicans are always supported by the rich man according to what I'd seen in Revelation, because it is the rich man's move. And they said the rich man supported Ford in this campaign, but I said the poor people always go Democratic, because Democrat government means the people rule. Republican government means that the leaders rule, and leaders are always those that have money. So then when the body rules, it are the members of the body, which is the democratic part, it indicates a resurrection of the body. Is that right? Since the Republicans went in, it had to do with death. Now, here comes that Republican thing staying all these years from Kennedy's death right on over, so to speak. Then here comes a resurrection coming up of the Democrats, and the Democrats are always liberal people, and puts it in the hands of the people. Jimmy Carter said, I'll put the government back in the people's hands. That's because it's Democrat. Back into their hand, because there's always what you call good times and prosperity when the Democrats are in rule. They are not conservatives, they are liberals. So then you see the redemption of the body. After the death of the body through Kennedy to begin with, you see the resurrection of the same body through Jimmy Carter, who we found out, as we had spoke of being relative to that before, that his name was Kennedy, that he really is a Kennedy. All right, now, in that we found this, I said that in the vision I resurrected both Kennedy and my brother Charles. And when my brother Charles coming up over here in the resurrectional type, then so comes Jimmy Carter in the government moving over to Atlanta, Georgia. But in this recording, or Nashville part of it, that we add a little part to each one of our sermons, we add another little part to it that you might have a chain reaction through the tapes coming on down. And to do that, we have to go back and pick up some of the previous things that we've said to kind of tie them together to where they'll add a little here and a little there to where you can understand line upon line, precept upon precept. So then in the resurrection of the body, it was to pick this up. And sure enough, Brother Green is planning a great meeting out in Tucson, Arizona. Now, I believe that that meeting has to do with the vision that Sister Minnie Bowen saw. I believe it's in connection with it, and we'll see if it is. But anyway, he's planning a convention out there before the fall is, before this year is over, as far as I know, according to Brother Tidwell. Now, Brother Tidwell was so carried away with the songs and with the singing until he said to me, he said, Brother Pike, he was just talking about how beautiful they were. He said, I believe that these sounds will be heard all over the world. Amen. That was how enthused he was over it. And isn't that something? The heavenly echoes. Isn't that something? Echoes from heaven heard all over the world. Now, so then, I see a great thing taking place, even in the recording. And of course, we're going to have Brother Atlee Beachy to make our own jackets and everything to put the word known. I talked to him down yonder about it, and they do a good job. And I'm not complaining, but I don't feel like they do as good a job as our brethren do here. And so then I told them we want to do our own. So we'll do our own here. And when we get it made just like we want to, then they just, we'll let them go ahead and print them up there, you know, and do whatever they want to there. But we'll have it like we want it on this end. And our labels, we're going to make our own labels, our own name, our own publishers. And this we're going to do, we're going to run them through the BMI publisher. How do you understand what the BMI is? It's the biggest operation in the world as far as the music protection. It's what all the stars and all the others go through, BMI writer. Going to run it through there for this reason. We will operate here under that for this reason. The songs represent a great thing spiritually, as you can very well see. And we will not sell the songs. We refuse to sell them and commercialize off of them and to make money. And though there's people that want them and are willing to pay us and give us contracts and give us royalty, they've done told us so, yet we refuse to do it. We are putting them out as we have all of our other materials, that our talents, our life may be solely given to Christ, that Christ can give to us, and nobody can say that they made Abraham rich. Even though there are songs, and the Bible said, that which is ours we can do to it, whatever, you know, with it, whatever we will. Looks like we got an open door. But anyway, it looks like that, you know, we can do whatever we want to with it. Well, because the Bible said, whatever's yours, it's lawful for you to do what you will with it. Now, somebody said, well, you can make money. But see, it said, do what you will. I will give them away. So then, it is my desire to freely give, even as I have freely received. But I try to be as wise as I can to protect you, to protect all that is a part of the body of the Lord Jesus. Because I know my wife's heart, and I know my children's heart, and their heart is in the ministry, and I refuse to even coordinate or work with my son-in-law or with the children until they determine in their heart that their labors and all that they got and what they were going to receive or do was to be invested in Christ and his kingdom and the brethren in a unit for all that we do. And they fully agreed to it, seeing that God would not bless it the other way. Now, so then, I'm running them through the BMI affiliation for this reason. We are freely giving, and those such as Brother Tidwell or others, the ones that want to work for the ministry, that way can record our songs, enjoy them, and have the wonderful benefits of them. And if they put them on record, if they sell the records, whereas we are going to do ours the way God wants it done, the way we've always done. But if they sell them, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. If they want to sell them, that's perfectly all right, because that's their livelihood. They that wait at the altars are partakers. But I'd rather do it this way, because this is the more pleasurable way of God. Now, so then, they will do that. That will give them chances to do that, and the songs will go out to the public. But at the same time, running it through the BMI protection,
Nobody can record those songs on a commercial basis that I don't want to record them. And I don't want anyone recording those songs on a commercial basis to get money to give to the world. They will be compelled that if any of those songs go out, the money will come back here to the brethren. And they won't be able to do anything else about it. Now, because that's what the BMI operation is. They really put the finger on you the minute that you step out with those songs without permission. Now, so then it is to try to protect you and those that are involved and not complicate what we're doing for God. But we do have here, as you've seen, a great thing concerning the resurrection. Now, there's quite a few things I want to tie in here that would really help you this morning, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it this morning. I might get back and say something to you tonight. I might not. It might be another day or two. Somebody else might minister tonight. But when I get around to it, I got some things I want to say that I believe is really going to help you individually. But anyway, in these few things that I've exhorted you in this morning, you can see with a lot of other things that we're not be able to make mention of, how that if you sit down and talk to God, you can see it all tied together, how that it'll come together in a beautiful thing. Even when Brother Charlie Elliott wrote the song down here, back over in Centerville, had no melody to it, I said it has to do with the body and the death. We put the melody to it, I said it has to do with the resurrection. Is that right? All right, now, in that you see these things happening, it is a fulfillment of what we said. I said that the last move of God would go out with a great musical thing. Is that right? It's a great musical thing because the Ark of the Covenant, the singers, all of them was right with the Ark. And in the coming of Jesus, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, with everything in heaven and everything in earth and everything under the earth will be crying praises to the Lord Jesus in the coming of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so then as it comes from the heavens, the angels will be playing on their harps and singing, and a great thing will take place. And like the song we wrote, Prince of Peace, the greatest scene is now approaching. The greatest scene that's ever been set will be set in heaven, and Jesus himself will step forth. So it will be a great musical thing. He that for us, he the one that died for us, will come forth and we'll see the nail-riven hands, see the pierced head where the thorns was, see the great move of God, and see the great things that takes place at the coming event of Christ Jesus. But you got to get your eyes open. The wicked shall not see when good cometh. So you got to get your eyes open, and you got to understand if you're going to be part of this. So in going down to Nashville, here we have come back over here to little Bethlehem, showing the thing in the resurrection and winning it over, whereas Brother Tidwell's heart that's been over on that side is thoroughly changed and won over on this side. And my, the trouble he was having when we was down there. His wife was in the hospital. Things had gone wrong. The children, just so many things, and he was just brokenhearted. But the Lord had it all that way because it was to be a crucifixional thing in his natural side of life to bring him over to the spiritual side of life. And everything is working just perfectly for that. And Brother Green is planning to take these songs and even with these melodies that they are to go out and the wonderful things of God take place. All right, let's stand together. So many things I'd like to say this morning. But I know that some of you are going over yonder. Just exhorting you just a little bit concerning a few things to let you know why I went to Nashville. Why that the things took place like they did. Why that we had to wake up at 2:30 in the morning, go to bed at 11 o'clock last night. Why that we have a death here right on the spur of the moment that's hard to understand in the natural. Why that the children have done what they've done. We stated to you long years ago, some of you, that when you saw the children come together, I said the children separated at the death of Brother Branham, it had to do with the crucifixion. And I said, when you see them come together after 7 to 10 years, I said it will denote the resurrection of Brother Branham, the move of God, and it will denote the resurrection of mankind and the rapture. And under the very tent that we spoke of that had to do with the rapture, there George Jr. and them stood together for the first time and really sang there to where they could really be called a unit. Now, so then, we see that the thing has taken place. Brother Wilson is sold out over yonder in Mississippi. Called the other day, so he'll be coming right on over. Sold out in Mississippi and brought that in, whereas we said that had to do with the Jewish part in that area of the body. Brought that in for on the other side of the Mississippi. Had to do with the body and where Brother Branham went out and where Brother Branham called from when we were on this side of the Mississippi that had to do with the Jordan. When Brother Branham said, when I come again, I'll come by your place, Brother Pike. So then, it is happening exactly the same way that we said it would take place. Let's sing a little course together. If you go over to be with them today, try to refrain from saying anything that might hurt. It's no time to rebuke, to reprove. Bucky can't hear anything that you say. The time was when I cried to you, stand with me, that you might help the others, for they don't know what they're doing. So if you haven't said the right thing, thought the right things, and done the right things to the folks to help them be turned here to God, forever hold your peace, because it's too late for you to say it now. You say, well, I can tell the wife and the children. You cannot tell them anything. God has already told them in a more profound way than you or I could ever tell them. Now, you could have told them. Some of you did not. You rather strengthened the hands and the reasoning against me. But nevertheless, the thing is to repent, turn away from it, beg forgiveness. Never reason to feel like you know and understand anymore. Don't lean to your own understanding. Go to God and get revelation. The Bible said the prophets of Israel are like the foxes in the deserts. They see a vain vision. They say, howbeit when the Lord has not spoken. And they prophesy out of their own spirit. But if we'll take the attitude that we're going to repent, love the Lord, stand together, prophesy out of His spirit, which is the Word, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Him. Prophesy out of that. Then the Lord will bless us. The people will not be confused. And God will give us the great blessings, confirmation of His Word. And we can all dwell together in unity. And we'll all be able to pass over death. This time, at this time, the death of Bucky has to do with the conquering of death. When Jesus died, that conquered death. When the law went away, there was no more sin. For sin gets its strength by the law. Is that right? And when the law went away, the accuser of the brethren passed off of the scene. Because the accuser of the brethren, being Satan, had no power to accuse anymore by saying, they don't fit this letter, they don't fit this rule, or quote the quotations from a dead man's book. Is that right? No more can that be said, in that my own little Gracie that borrowed the coat from Brother Lyman's little daughter. Betty went to get Gracie a coat, couldn't get one. The Lord wouldn't let her. She come back. Took the little blue coat, little blue and white coat from Brother Lyman's daughter, who had replaced Bucky in that he had moved over there. We spoke about it. The death this morning, the cock crowing and those kind of things, or yesterday morning. My own little Gracie took the coat. See, law going out, Brother Lyman moving over there, and Grace coming in to represent the death of Brother Bucky, which would be taken to his daughter, Becky, and my daughter Grace there to testify with the little coat of the replacement of Grace unto life. And she was dressed in red, white, and blue.
I thought about that, America, you know, in the grace of God, when the Jews went out, they turned to us. But anyway, the grace of God, the accuser of the brethren cast out, which is Satan, that accuses us through the law being folded up and laid away by Jesus' death, which Bucky represented the law, folded up and laid away. Now, though the law was a holy thing, don't get the wrong understanding, because the law was a holy thing. If it had been a law that could have saved man, Jesus would never died. But see, God is the Spirit. That's the only thing. Naturally speaking, you won't never meet a man that was any smarter than Bucky. It had any greater understanding, more influential. The man was brilliant. See, but all he knew to turn to was the law of the letter in reasoning and deciding as a judge what was right and wrong. He confessed that, but he was put in that position. And he said, I see the spiritual thing, Brother Pike, but to get over into it, said, I just can't seem to do it. Like Moses, I said, he represented it. Brother Branham, as Moses, looking over when he was caught up, saw the ladies with the long dresses, but couldn't get in. All right, now, so then, when Grace came, she went down to the Hilltop Studios, and there was where everything showed the powers, the contest, the victories, and how that the intellect was defeated, and yet the body and the brilliance not destroyed, for the spirit was to go back, pick the body up, put the brilliance to stimulate the brilliance, but during the time of the death, the purging to take away the, like winter coming, to take away the infiltration of parasites. And then the springtime comes back into the same body of the tree, up comes the sap and the life, but the parasites and the infections are dead. So it can be a healthy tree with healthy fruit. So then in this, we saw everything transpire, even in the little coat, God having his way. People, you know, unless you're in the mind of God, you never notice a little old coat, a little old child or anything like that. You'd never notice it. Nobody would never notice it. But see, Jesus, the Bible said, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Jesus, if he's in your life, it don't make any difference if it ain't nothing but a gnat. You'll judge it as to what it was. If a gnat lights on the end of your nose, somebody say, oh, you're a bunch of freaks. You're a bunch of fanatics. Well, it's said that a fanatic is somebody that believes something so strong that he feels like everybody else ought to believe it. So that's what we are out here at Little Bethlehem. We believe this and feel like everybody else ought to believe it. So at any rate, we're children of God and we love the Lord. That's the main thing, isn't it? We love the Lord. So let's sing this little chorus together. Don't forget, if you go over there, just try to be kind and do all you can. Be just as courteous and reverent as you can. And folks, watch your children for the Lord's sake. Please, mothers, daddies alike. Daddy, you're responsible too. Don't let the little children do things that will reproach the church and reproach people and hurt them and dishonor them. For Christ's sake, be a daddy and mother and command your household after you, or else you'll never make it into this translation that I'm speaking of. Please, for Christ's sake, I've emphasized this so many times, for the Lord's sake, remember that. Don't get to talking and let them wander off. Children left to themselves will bring shame, the Bible said. Not only natural, but spiritual children. And that's why the church is having the shame it's having. And when you leave them like that, there's no need to take it for granted that yours are different, because they're not. Don't forget to pray for the children and Brother Ed and him now. They're on their way back, I suppose, by now. And pray that God will give them a safe trip, because they have labored hard. You just don't know how hard they've worked in singing. That's a hard job when you go into the studio hour after hour. It's a hard job. It's an aggravating thing. And at home, practicing, drilling till way over the night. And when they got to Nashville, Brother Tidwell said, Brother Pike said, they drilled so hard over into the morning, said, I couldn't take it, said, I had to quit. So I left them there, said, I just couldn't take it. Said, they went so hard and so long and all, till he just had to quit. But even James, his son, made the statement when they got there, said, y'all must have been practicing this. Said, this is just too good, you know, to just come up like this. Said, y'all must have really practiced it. Whereas they had, you know. They really inspired those people down there. And besides that, they were planning to give out some tracts. We also gave out some tracts, got some testimonies in. Betty testified to a stewardess on the plane that she's really carried away. She lives right over here at Smyrna. She's lived in New York and different places and moved over here for a few months, living over there. And she's wanting one of the records And I don't know whether she said she'd come over or not, but she's liable to come over. She was invited to the campground. She's been with the Eastern Lines, I think, for about 2 years. Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. I love him because he is mine. I love him because he is mine. I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus the Nazarene. Now, you're my spiritual family, and we're all together the family of God. And we should be all for one and one for all. I love him because he is mine.